Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Well, he played in the NFL for 8 years, 7 of those with the Raiders, 1 with the Texans, 1 with the Chiefs. He's got a new podcast called All Facts, No Cap. Stanford Rout, former NFL defensive back and a regular on the show, joins us. So Raiders-Bengals is one that interests me because we've said before, we just don't even understand how the Raiders are in this thing. There's chaos everywhere. The Henry Ruggs, the Gruden gets fired. They cut their first-round corner. But they do have a pass rush. And they have a really capable quarterback, so they're very good. The captain of their offense is good, and in this league, if you make the other quarterback uncomfortable, which they did the last time they faced the Bengals, so let's just talk matchup first of all. What do the Raiders do, and you know that team well, you played there 7 years, what do they do that Cincinnati will struggle with?
Well, for one, I think it's going to have to come down to pass rush. You got Max Crosby making all pro, getting his first Pro Bowl nod, and well-deserved. I think he's going to have to make sure that he puts pressure on Joe Burrow, just like he did the last time, along with Ngakoue and all those boys up front. That's number one. Number two, they're going to have to do a better job of running the ball with Josh Jacobs so they can go ahead and control the clock and be able to go ahead and keep Joe Burrow off of the field. And then it all comes down to they got to make plays in the secondary. You got Ja'Marr Chase. You got, obviously, a T. Higgins. They're going to have to be able to make plays when they're able to get a lead, if they are, and actually do a better job than they did down the stretch versus Justin Herbert last week, giving up 2 touchdowns on 4th down, no less, in the last couple minutes of regulation.
Do you worry that the Raiders' defense was on the field for 88 snaps, and now they've got it, then you fly on the road, that at some point you can't ask your – that's why the NFL doesn't like overtimes to go too long, because the following week – those teams get injured more and hurt more and lose more. Are you worried that the Raiders just emptied everything out against the Chargers?
A little bit, but I mean, to be honest with you, I'm more worried about why they have so many last second or last drive type of victories. You don't see them much in the 4-minute offense where they got to go ahead, string together a couple first downs to go ahead and drown out the clock. That way they can go ahead and cruise to an easy victory. Everything is always so helter-skelter, coming back at the last little second, coming back in overtime, the last drive, things like that. So to your point, yes, I think the defense, they got to be able to get a reprieve from the offense where they're not out there being gassed 480 such plays like they had against Justin Herbert last week.
I don't know if you ever had an interim coach, but Rich Bisaccia, you know, a lot of times Stanford interim coaches do pretty well, and they do well because, I mean, Dan Campbell once was an interim coach, and Joy would know this with the Dolphins. The interim coach comes in, it's the new boss. Everybody for 5-6 weeks wants to impress the new boss. Everybody's and that happened. That doesn't mean it's going to work over 5 years. But what do you do if he beats the Bengals? Do you give him the job?
I think that if they beat the Bengals and they make it to the divisional round and they have a hard-fought game, or should I say a hard-fought loss in the divisional round to, let's say, the Chiefs or any other team within the AFC playoffs, then if you're Mark Davis, I think you got to take a strong look at retaining Rich Bisaccia and taking off that interim tag and letting him be the head coach, because we all know Mark Davis, he likes to have splashes. That's why he went ahead and got John Gruden out of the booth. So I think that it's going to have to take a victory against the Cincinnati Bengals and a very, very hard-fought game in the divisional round for that to even be a strong possibility for Mark Davis.
You know, it's interesting. You played for the Texans for a year. 7 coaches got fired. I would have given David Culley 1 more year because I think even though they only won 4 games, they were an underdog. They beat Tennessee. They beat the Chargers. Team never quit. It's like the Lions. I don't know if Dan Campbell's great, but they played hard. You can lose games, never lost the locker room. What do you make? Now, there are people that just are, they think it's ridiculous, and I tend to agree here. 1 black coach, 70% of the players African-American. Did it bother you when Culley specifically was fired yesterday?
It did not. surprised me. I'll go ahead and just say that. We see that last year, come on now, he was not the number one choice. They interviewed Eberflus, they interviewed Bieniemy, they interviewed Marvin Lewis, so many other coaches, and they just basically settled on a David Culley. Yeah. Everybody here in Houston pretty much knew that. So whenever you look at the Houston Texans, they run that organization the way that you would run a church or a congregation. They're not exactly worried about winning championships. They want to win the right way. So to go ahead and put it in Los Angeles terms, that the Texans are more content with simply having guys from Manhattan Beach, Laguna Beach, somewhere out in Orange County, versus players or even members on the coaching staff from, let's say, South Central LA or Watts or Inglewood or something like that. That's how this organization has been ran ever since Bob McNair was running the show, God rest his soul. And now with Cal McNair taking over, that is just the mantra of the Houston Texans, that they want to have the right people in place.
Yeah, I don't like that at all. That doesn't feel right to me.
Me,
I want to win games. You know what right is? Right's winning games. I don't know. I said this 15 minutes ago. It's the worst ownership. I just can't get my arms around it. If that's what they're saying, I can't get my arms around that at all.
Colin, it just really just comes down to, you have certain people that they, like I said, they believe, I would much rather lose with the right people in place rather than win with the wrong guys in place. Or should I say the knuckleheads, the bad actors, as one might call them. So that's the mantra. They have always been like that. And until this ownership changes, you will never see a difference within the mindset, the ideology down there with the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I just can't even get my arms around that. Who's good and bad? I mean, you know what? I mean, seriously, I mean, if you're, what in the world does good and bad mean? All right, so
I mean, I can go ahead and explain it to you if you want.
Well, no, I mean, but it listen, there's racial sensitivity around this, and when I hear that,
very
I think.
Much so.
Yeah, this ownership group doesn't know what they're doing. They absolutely don't know what they're doing. And by the way, there are times when good organizations, like Minnesota, I think, was mostly well-run, and they didn't have a great year. I think Denver is mostly historically well-run. They didn't have a great year. There's a reason.
Agreed.
Houston's gone off a cliff. Lions have gone off a cliff. Jets have gone off a cliff. I think there's bad ownership groups. Is that fair to say? I think Houston, to me, that's a bad ownership group.
No doubt about it. You know, I think that whenever you have this type of mindset that you want to have a certain look, or you want to have certain
brutal
types of people in charge, you're always going to go ahead and come up short, because the NFL, it's all about winning. We're trying to win championships. We're trying to win divisions, trying to go to the playoffs, things like that. And whenever you have ownership, whenever you have management that is more worried about how things look on our way to said goal and less worried about the actual destination, or should I say achieving that goal, you're going to always have those types of issues.
By the way, would any good, you know, I'll ask the question today, like I said this earlier to Joy, if I was Eric Bieniemy and was offered the job, I wouldn't take it. I mean, if I was Matt Eberflus, I wouldn't take it. I mean, if that's how they view the world, then you're not the only person that knows that. There's got to be a lot of people.
No.
Players talk, coaches talk, assistants talk. So why get rid of Culley if you're not going to get an elite candidate anyway? Because I do agree. I don't think he was an elite candidate. I don't. But you're not going to get one. If what you're saying, and you know the organization and you live in Houston, if that's how they're doing business, well, you're not going to get an elite guy anyway. Why not keep the guy everybody likes?
Well, they're not going to get an elite guy. I think it just comes down to just the Patriots South. And that's why you're hearing reports about Gerard Mayo, the linebacker coach for the New England Patriots, expected to emerge as the lead candidate, and possibly Josh McDaniels, and then also with Brian Flores being unexpectedly let go by the Miami Dolphins. I think that's why you saw this firing just yesterday with the David Culley, because usually we all know Black Monday, the day right after the final week of the regular season, that's when all the coaches get fired. They fired this guy on a Thursday. So that right there tells me that, okay, the day right after the game, you were okay with having him. But now all of a sudden, 3 days later, because you see Brian Flores is now available, now Gerard Mayo, it seems like he's emerging as a candidate, things like that. Now you want to go ahead and let this guy go, and then cite those irreconcilable differences or a difference in philosophy between him and ownership or management. So to me, it just screams that they're trying to go ahead and really, really make this thing Patriots South, even though they try to deny it at every stretch.
Yeah, the difference is the Patriots of Belichick retire tomorrow would have great candidates lined up, because Robert Kraft is a patient, great owner. Do you have a Super Bowl pick right now that you strongly believe in?
Oh, man, I think it's still a little bit too early to go ahead and just give that. But if you're putting me on the spot, I would probably go with Green Bay coming out of the NFC. You got Tampa Bay. They got too many injuries.
Yes.
Tom Brady, we all know how great he is. I'm not sure if he can overcome all of that. So I would go with Green Bay in the NFC because Aaron Rodgers, this could potentially be a swan song, his last dance with Green Bay, what have you. And then I think in the AFC, it's so much up and down play. The Tennessee Titans obviously got the number one seed, but I'm not sure if they have enough firepower to match Kansas City blow for blow. So right now I would go with Kansas City coming out of the AFC. That's my early pick because, like I said, whenever these playoffs start, just like the New York Giants back in 07 and 2011, anything can happen. Anybody can get hot. So those would be my two picks coming out of the respective conferences right now.
Yeah, by the way, Green Bay is getting healthier. Tampa Bay is not. I think the Rams are getting healthier. I think Tennessee is getting healthier. So that plays into it as well. A Stanford route. Great talking. Talk soon. Thanks, man.
All right. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
Thanks for being on.
You bet. I can't wrap my arms around. If you are worried about how the hiring looks, just go get good people. I remember when it's funny about this, and that's why I don't worry. I never play a moralist on radio or TV. I mean, you may be upset, but I'll talk about, I'm not overly religious. I'm pro pot. I don't worry about being a moralist. Your morals aren't mine. Mine aren't yours. I could never be a conservative talk show host. I can't tell you what your values are supposed to be. It's just not my thing. Even though there are some conservative values I have, I think they'd be viewed conservatively, but when you start worrying about how like winning a press conference and how stuff looks, and just go get quality people that are good people. That's just the answer for everything in life. Go hire quality, and if they've got to be good people. I don't care where they're from. I don't care. David Culley was not a strong candidate, but there's a reason they couldn't get one because of that nonsense. That's why they can't get good. You're going to tell me if I'm Byron Leftwich, if I'm Eric Bieniemy, I'm Matt Eberflus, I don't even take their phone call. I don't even take Houston's phone call. Don't even take the call. Now, there are organizations like Jacksonville, which are not winning, but I kind of like the quarterback. Boy, they've got $1 zillion in cap space. It's a weird division. And I don't think they necessarily have a bad owner. I just don't think they have had a good culture creator in like a decade. Like, I don't think he's a bad owner, Shad Khan. I just think he's an owner. It's not his job to create a locker room football culture. That's not his business.
No, I think it's the owner's responsibility to create a workplace that is functional.
And stable.
And stable. And I don't think that a lot of owners feel that that's their responsibility. Nor do they look at firing, you know, whole staffs of people as a dysfunctional workplace. I think that they're just signed checks and they don't think about the humanity of it and also all the ripple effects that come from constantly firing coaches. To your point, if you had this opportunity, you, Colin Cowherd, are a head coordinator
I wouldn't
even
take
place with your families in place. Your kids are in school. You make great money and you know you're going to continue to get these opportunities because you're great at what you do and you're with a great organization.
Wouldn't take Houston's
Why
call.
Are you rushing for this situation? Why wouldn't you wait for a Colts to open? Denver, like, which isn't even a great situation because you don't know who the owner is going to be. Like, you can be patient and pick your spot when you are at the top of the
It's very rare. There are
list.
Occasional great openings. Green Bay
yeah.
3 years ago with Aaron Rodgers. That was a great opening. That's the last
yes.
10 years. When Belichick retires, that'll be a good
opening. The Rams.
Rams opening. There are occasional.
Chargers.
Really good. But that's like 1 out of 8. Most of these teams have an opening for a reason. Culture's bad, owner's bad.
I'm just saying you should be strategic. I think owners sometimes rely on the fact that there's only 32 of these jobs that they consider all of them to be good jobs. And that's not true.
Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Let's think about it. If you're not that kind of person,
what the hell does that mean?
You're gonna go in an interview and like pretend to be that kind of person. And
he said they like to win it the right way. The right way is winning.
Well, they don't do winning anyway. So what are
we
you wanna, talking about?
We want to win the
you
right
don't
way.
Win. You don't win, so you
By
don't know
way,
anything about winning the right way or the wrong way. You don't win at all.
I could argue New England run Spygate, Deflategate. I mean, I could argue that's not the right way to. Just win games. We'll figure out the rest later.
They want to have the kind of people that make them comfortable.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
That's different than winning the right way or the wrong way. You got to fit in where you get in with them. So Matthew Stafford has yet to win a playoff game, but he said he isn't feeling the pressure going into Monday night's game against the Cardinals.
Every time I step on the field, I'm proving myself. You know, whether it's a preseason game, a regular season game, practice, a playoff game, I want to go out there and play well. You know, this is just another opportunity to do that. This is a team game. There's no question. But at the same time, do I know that when the quarterback plays good, you got a better chance to win the game? Absolutely. So I'm always trying to go out there, you know, play as good a football as I possibly can, help our team win.
All of the pressure is on Matthew Stafford.
The whole weekend.
I know there's a lot of talk about the Cowboys, and I think it would be a bad loss for the Cowboys to lose to San Francisco. I know the Niners fans don't feel that way, but the Cowboys should win that game.
Yeah,
they'll get some pushback because it's the Cowboys.
But if it's 28-27 Niners physical game,
yeah,
it's like they were only a field goal favorite at home. Like, that's a really close game.
It's reasonable. But Matthew Stafford with the Rams, with Super Bowl expectations after not
Better
ever
coach.
Winning a playoff game. And he got rid of a guy that everybody had questions about, but you did go to a Super Bowl with. You got to win this. You got to win this game. I'm not saying that the Rams have to win the Super Bowl for it to be a success.
Got
to
win a couple games.
It is his first year in a new system.
So I kind of deep down think Rams are at Green Bay for the NFC Championship. That is my prediction today. Rams at Green Bay. We'll see who's healthier, because I'll take the healthier team in that game.
You got to win Wild Card Weekend.
Have to at home.
Now
have
I
to.
Think that they will.
But
I would not be surprised if they don't, especially considering the fact that he has turned the ball over a lot. 17 interceptions, tied for the most with Trevor Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.
He threw 7 interceptions over the final three games and lost a fumble in that stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So they are favored by 4, according to Fox Bet, but he better take care of the ball this weekend.
Yep.
The Cardinals are a great road team. Great road team, weirdly enough. And there's a lot of questions with them still, but he, to me, has the most pressure out of anybody, any coach, any player. Matthew Stafford has the most pressure this weekend. So Ben Roethlisberger is currently number 5 in NFL postseason passing yards. And mm-hmm. by the end of Sunday night's game, he could be number 3. He's thrown for 5,757 passing yards in the playoffs in his career. Joe Montana is in 4th place with 5,772, and Brett Favre has 5,855. So that means Roethlisberger only needs 99 yards against the Chiefs to move into 3rd place all time. He's only been held to 99 yards 4 times in 271 career games. So even though their offense does struggle at times, this is a very attainable postseason record. I know we talked a lot about records and, you know, how they don't really matter that much in football. I do think that postseason records are significant, though. Regular season, it's very skewed. We had different amount of games. Now we have 17 games or 14 games.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get too much into that. I do think it's nice to have a lot of records. I mean, we talk about Drew Brees and all the amount of records that he has. I think postseason records do matter a little bit, though.
I do, but I'm not a records person. Baseball, like the fact that Ben's going to pass Joe Montana, they're the opposite. One guy disappointed me most of his career in the playoffs. One guy's the second greatest ever.
I do think it tells a little bit of the story of how many times you were in the playoffs, though. Like, if you're able to pass that much, if you're able to have those kind of numbers. Also, when you look at Ben Roethlisberger's career, I mean, he's a winning quarterback. He's never been the starting quarterback for a losing season with the Steelers.
Fair.
Like, for all of his, you know, the scope of our expectations of him, he's got 2 Super Bowls and was never the leader of a losing team. So Wild Card Weekend starts Saturday afternoon, and the home team is favored in every matchup, according to Fox Bet. So the Raiders are at the Bengals, -5.5. The Bengals are favored. Patriots at the Bills, -4.5. The Buccaneers -8.5 hosting the Eagles. Cowboys -3 hosting the Niners. Steelers are at the Chiefs, the biggest underdog at -12.5. And the Cardinals at the Rams -4. The lines haven't changed significantly or at all in some cases since they opened, especially still on the side of the Bucs despite the weather. So there's 2 games that we have to pay attention to the weather for. That's the Buccaneers game. It's supposed to be monsoonal rains and thunderstorms and wind during that game. And then the Bills game is supposed to be sub-zero wind chill. Could be the second coldest game in Bills history.
I know. Those are the 2 games I like the dogs. I like the 2 bad weather games. I like them to be ugly, low scoring. I'll take New England, Philly, and the points. So the weather games, to me, crush the better offense.
Yeah.
And so that's why my two favorite picks are bad weather underdogs that keep it close.
Well, I don't think that it's going to be the same game plan that we saw with the snow game with the Bills and Patriots this year.
Not a little wind.
Right. But it is going to be very, very cold. Like, you have to consider how players play when it is that cold.
They
like
drop sub-zero. Receivers drop passes.
Yeah, it's freezing. It's inhabitable and uninhabitable. But the Eagles are the number one rushing team in the league.
They don't care. They're just going to run the ball. They don't care about gusty wind.
I can't wait for this weekend. It's going to be so interesting.
Good stuff, Joy, with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
All right, Jason McIntyre, his NFL picks. I'm all jacked up for this. I want to see this.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Warriors Bulls Discover Card Key matchup tonight. You'll get somebody on the phone, really on the phone. U.S.-based reps, Discover, exceptionally common sense. All right, here we go. Jason McIntyre, he's the gambling guy at this company, and we do little shows all the time, the gambling stuff. And I'm very excited for your picks. You're very accurate. Here we go. We call it Tomorrow's Headlines Today. What's the headline going to be Monday for Raiders at the Bengals?
I heard a lot of Raiders love out of you, huh? You really like in Vegas
this
weekend.
Not this week.
Okay. The headline will be Tic-Tac-Joe. Bengals toy with Raiders. Give me Cincinnati at home. I know it's one of those weird matchups with two first-time quarterbacks in the playoffs, two first-time coaches, but you know, you and I were talking before the break. You know, this is a Raiders team that's tired. They were on the field for, I think, 92 plays. Crosby, 82 plays, and he was dominant last week. But I looked this up, Colin. They've played four overtime games this year.
Yeah.
Three of them afterward, the week after, Crosby did nothing. Because he's exhausted. You're bum-rushing the passer. And I just think this is a Raiders team, Colin. They got lucky this year. 4-0 in overtime games. 7-2 in one-possession games. Best mark in the league. And I think they run out of luck here in the second half against the Bengals. I did bet the first half under. That's coming down. I think, you know, the feeling out process early. I will give you this final little nugget. Tyler Boyd props. Keep an eye on him. Raiders play a lot of zone. It's not going to be a Jamar Chase game. It'll be a Tyler Boyd game. Give me the Bengals like 24-10.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Patriots at the Bills. I lean New England to keep it close.
Round three. Everybody loves Belichick in the playoffs. What's not to love? The headline will be Buffalo wings, more filling than mac and cheese. Your guy, Mac Jones, he's cratered here at the end of the season, Colin.
Six
turnovers, I believe, in the last four games. And remember, this is a warm weather guy playing in the South. What happened last time in the cold game where it was 50-mile-an-hour winds? He threw three passes. This is going to be 0 degrees at the game. They're calling single digits to start. It'll be very cold. I think this is a, you know, everybody just likes Bill Belichick, so they're giving him a lot of respect here. Trust the season-long metrics, Colin. Who's better season-long? Buffalo's one of the best teams in the league, but they did go 0-5 in one-possession games. That's going to flip. I think Buffalo cruises here. Kind of an easy win, 27-10-ish. Give me Buffalo.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Eagles at the Bucs. I think this one's going to be close.
This has been the toughest game to handicap all week. You know, the line's kind of moving. The weather Joy just talked about, the headline will be hit them where it hurts. Philly dethrones the GOAT.
The upset.
I think you got to pick one upset every wild card round, right? And I think this is it. So you read deep. And remember, I was living in Pennsylvania for a few years before I moved out here. And a lot of these Philly beat writers were saying that the Eagles pretty much knew they were playing Tampa. They rested everybody. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for Brady. It was like an 80% chance they were going to face Tampa. And Tom Brady killed him in the first meeting. They've had 2 weeks to prepare for this. And now the weather factor. Philly loves the trenches. They dominate inside. I think if you look at Tom Brady's injury report, they're calling up John Brown from the practice squad. He's going to play like actual snaps this week. If you can just basically say, I'm going to put Darius Big Play Slay on Mike Evans, then it becomes, okay, it's going to be the Gronk game. And Philly has been killed by tight ends. Most touchdowns given up to tight ends. So it's basically Tom Brady and Gronk, and that's all you've got in Tampa. I do believe Philly pulls the upset. And I know, listen, if the weather in Florida, you guys know Florida weather. It's like, it looks like it's going to be awful, but it could flip at a dime. I think Philly pulls the upset here in a bit of a shocker.
Tomorrow's headlines today, Niners at the Cowboys.
Best game of the weekend, right? Yeah. Best game, no doubt. The headline will be, you see these touchdowns? Give me the Cowboys. I like Dallas here at home. This is going to come down to Jimmy G, a guy I've defended ad nauseum. Colin, if you look at the numbers under pressure, he's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. Third most turnover-worthy passes under pressure. And what does Dallas do? DeMarcus Lawrence, Randy Gregory, Micah Parsons. I know the Cowboys had a tough draw here and the run game of San Fran. Everybody loves Shanahan and Debo Samuel and Kittle. And this is going to be a good game. But ultimately, I think on the outside, those 49ers cornerbacks are so weak. They can get exploited. CD Lamb, I really like Amari Cooper having a big game deep. I'll take Dallas in the best game, 28-24. Give me the Cowboys covering the spread.
Tomorrow's headlines today. Man, Jeannie likes the Steelers. Steelers at the Chiefs.
That's a little crazy. What are you liking? Like Mike Tomlin? Come on. The headline will be Chiefs run out the clock on Big Ben. Now, I don't want to give Joy PTSD from Dan Marino's final game with the Cowboys. with the Dolphins. Do you remember what happened?
No.
In the playoffs, they lost 62-7 to Jacksonville. Marino's final game. He was a little washed. He had two picks, threw for like 95 yards. I can totally see this unfolding for Ben Roethlisberger. Like, Colin, this is not a good team.
No, offensively, they're in need.
Yeah, and people want to make the case. Mike Tomlin is an underdog. Trust me, all that's baked into the line. They inflated the line. Chiefs were like 13 because they knew nobody's betting the Steelers. And I get it. You know, Ben Roethlisberger's a great story, and they got into the playoffs heroically. Colin, this is going to be a bloodbath. I like the Chiefs big here. I bet them first half, it's gone up to 7.5. Guess who was 31st in the league in first half scoring? Pittsburgh! They're terrible in the first quarter, first half. I like Kansas City to roll in this one.
All right. Finally, tomorrow's headlines today. Arizona Cardinals, will they go off the cliff at the Rams?
Oh, boy. Matt Stafford, huh? Most pressure this weekend, you guys,
by far.
I mean, Jimmy G might be second, but it's Stafford by a mile. Give me the headline. It'll be the road to SoFi starts at SoFi. I like the Rams. I've picked them all year.
I did too.
I know that the idea of them being in the Super Bowl at home is fun and a bit of a fantasy, but this is going to be the Rams Monday night, a show out performance. McVay owns Kingsbury. We know that. He's totally dominated.
It's a weird division. Shanahan owns McVay.
It's odd how that works out, and this is just a great matchup for the Rams. They should dominate in the trenches. Again, DeAndre Hopkins, when he was there for Arizona, great offense, Colin. They were dynamic, top five in the league. Since he's gone down, go look at what happened. Can't finish in the red zone against the Colts. Can't move the ball against the Lions. Even against the Seahawks last week, they didn't really move the ball. They had two big plays by the defense. Matt Stafford, the run game. Keep an eye on the run game. They should dominate the trenches. Cooper Kupp, I like the Rams here fairly easily. This was the first bet I made and the biggest bet I made. I like the Arizona Cardinals to get blown out here by the Rams.
You're really going for some, you think?
Yeah, I think Rams and the Chiefs are the best plays for sure. I just can't, it's tough to make a case for any underdogs this weekend.
Oh,
you know?
Now,
that's the problem. Underdogs have dominated the last couple of years.
You picked Philly.
Philly's the one that I think, you know, Jason, pick an underdog. Give me the Eagles. Yeah. Nick Sirianni against Bruce Arians? You don't like that matchup?
We've been talking about all this stuff. If you were Jim Harbaugh, stay at Michigan where you got it rolling, bring your quarterback, or would you go take an NFL job?
Well, which NFL? Going to Jacksonville to play with Trevor Lawrence and play for some power-hungry GM? That's the problem in this league. You know, we were talking about it in the break. Like, some of these GMs are crazy. You got to worry about who you're working for.
Well, Miami, the owner's crazy. In Jacksonville, the GM is intense.
Yeah, I don't want to work for that guy.
Owners are awful and crazy in Houston.
Yeah.
I actually like Denver's the one I like, everything except the quarterback. I know they have a new owner. I love the GM. I love the roster.
Yeah. Colin, if you're going to go make a great meal for your wife for dinner, you're picking the ingredients, right? You're picking all the stuff that's going to go on the table. Shouldn't the coach have a big say in who's going to be playing for him on the field? Or are you going to trust a GM? They have to work in lockstep.
I don't tell Joy what to do with Herdline News. She picks the story.
Well, yeah, of course. You guys don't have a lot of players under you. You know, you guys are running the show here. But, I mean, if I'm Jim Harbaugh, I'd probably stay in Michigan. I get paid.
I think for a year. I'm not saying occasionally. I mean, the Green Bay job was open, the Rams, the Chargers. Occasionally you get a good job open with a legit quarterback. Jason McIntyre, Joy Taylor. All right, we'll see you Monday. It's the Herd.